John 10. I'm going to be turning there also in a moment and reading there in a few scriptures in a moment. But I want to do just a couple of what I call this one-time standalone messages from not just a real serious year, but just things I'm hearing God's Spirit talking about on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis for just a couple of weeks here until I start into a new series sometime in the month of July. And I really heard God's Spirit just speak real strong to me this week here about how many of us got a misconception, perhaps, that the door to the kingdom of God is either blocked or it's barely cracked open or it's something that's actually being stopped up to us, whereas God's Word tells us we have free access to the gates and the doors of heaven through the power and the name and the work of Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. So this morning's message, I'm going to entitle this, Jesus is the Door. And He is a door again that is not blocked. He's not shut. He is wide open to us. Amen. How many folks realize again that there's doors we face every single day in life, gateways in life we face. For example, your own debit card you may have in your billfold or your purse. You may have tens of thousands of dollars in your checking account, praise God. And if you don't have the PIN number, though, to your debit card, when you go to make a major purchase somewhere with that, you have no access to that cash at all because you have a lack of the PIN number. There can be a roadblock, a blockage, a stoppage of things like that. I found myself in traveling to foreign countries. If you go to a passport control place like India, we're going to India by faith at the end of September to do ministry there among the unreached folks in the northern part of that nation, and also some reached folks as well with Jack Adams' help and also with Anson's help and Anson's brother-in-law or relative from Houston. We're all going to be going together there for some real good ministry, I believe, among the Indian people. But I found that if you don't have a thing called a visa inside your passport, once you get the passport control there, you cannot go beyond passport control. The gate, the door, has been shut to you, and there's no entrance to the great riches of ministry in a nation like that. Amen? I also found a few years back, one of the most scary times I ever had in my traveling career, I guess, in a short amount of time, was I was actually traveling with Global Advance to do a Frontline Shepherd Conference ministry, leadership conference in a place, I think it was in Kenya, Africa. And I came back alone by myself, flying with Lufthansa through Frankfurt, Germany. Well, on that trip there, I traveled so many times that I was not carrying around more than one credit card, because one credit card's always been enough for me to get from A to B. And this credit card I had about, a $9,000 or $10,000 balance on there that you could tap into if you needed to have any kind of emergency take place and pay for something in your life, okay? So I go to the Frankfurt Hotel, I check in, I spend the night there. I call for the shuttle to come there the next morning. The shuttles come every half an hour to Frankfurt Hotel where I was at, to the airport. And so I kind of time things right down to the minute. And I go out there to check out downstairs in the lobby. And they try to go ahead and they try to run my credit card through. And they say, sir, this credit card has not been activated yet. Not activated. And so it's a brand new one that was sent to me in the States before I came on the trip there. I forgot to make the telephone call, the toll-free call there, to activate the credit card. And it's the only card I had, and I had almost no cash on me at all as well. And here my shuttle's going to be coming now in about 5 minutes or 10 minutes down the road. If I miss that shuttle, I miss my flight. When you miss your flight, you start paying through the ear on all things happening as far as travel is concerned in your life. I'm not feeling very good in this lobby right here. Because of the goodness and kindness, miracle powers of God, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, look in your billfold. There's a receipt in there from the past with a credit card number on that. Because the guys in the lobby, this is way back about 15 years ago, lobby guys said, we cannot call America to activate your card for you. We cannot pay kind of monies for that, so forth, so on. They would not do it. And so I got in my billfold, pulled out a receipt from Kenya that was about 10 to 12 months old. And by the grace of God, they had swiped my card on the old-fashioned ancient dinosaur thing that they used to take and run your credit cards by paper and give you a receipt for that thing. And so the imprint of that credit card number was still on that receipt, a credit card that was activated back in America. They punched that number in. They said, this works fine, sir. Your bill is paid. You may go. So I found again that God gives us open doors and open heavens, but sometimes we think everything is shut or things are barely open for us. But God is saying today by His Spirit and the Word of God as well, the gates really are wide open for us. And I believe God today, we're going to see some things that are barely cracked open in our lives, barely happening for us. We're going to see God do some breakthroughs, I believe, this morning in the spiritual realm through prayer. to start seeing some things manifest in our lives from this day on that brings forth the blessings that God's been holding for us that have not quite happened yet, whether it be in our bodies, in our finances, our marriage, our own mind, our own being in the emotional realm. I believe God has some things for us today. If you'll just hold on, take some notes, write some things down, and work and help me out by faith. Kind of chide me on. I need some amens. I need some encouragement here this morning as well. I want to preach to the wall. I want to preach to people that are alive, that are listening, that are hearing what God's word says today to them. Amen? So Jesus said, I am the door. Now this seems to many folks in the secular world to be a very, very narrow-minded, very elitist type thing to say. I am the door. The good thing is, though, you're going to find today is that he is the door. Because if Jesus Christ is not the door, then we are in big trouble. Because he is the only door that can open up that brings real lasting results and answers to our lives. Amen? The door to Islam, the door to Hinduism, the door to Mormonism will not bring lasting results in your life. Only God can bring things that actually permeate your life and brings you into a place of victory, a place of soundness, a place of wholeness, a place of meaning, and a place of expansion for God's kingdom also in you and through you that God has designed for your life as well. So let's look now in the Bible at John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. This is Jesus Christ himself speaking to the disciples. And it says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and they are robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Praise God. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. He will go in, notice this, and also go out, and he will find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life. They may have it also more abundantly. After saying he is the door here, he says, others who have come before me are either thieves or they are robbers. How many folks know that thieves are those who come in the darkness? They come in shadows. They come at nighttime. They come in stealth. And they try to bring forth somehow a way to wrest your valuables from you by secret means, deceptive means, while you sleep in your own bedroom most of the time. There's many thieves around us right now doing the same thing also, trying to lull us to sleep by being too busy, being too active, being too religious, being too whatever. And God says, that's why God says, be vigilant, be awake. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Don't fall asleep. Don't become despondent. Don't become complacent these last days. Be wide awake in these last days. Because many things around you will be very deceptive. They'll be very subtle, but they'll lull you to spiritual sleep, if possible, in these last days. The thief will come then to steal and kill and destroy. But also it says robbers come. Now, robbers are different. Robbers will take their guns out, their knives out in broad daylight, and they'll take things from you. Not things, that's a Texan. They'll take things from you by violent force. Amen? They will rip you apart, they will stab you, they will cut you, they will even shoot you, they have to get what they want to get. They are robbers who are violent people, and we're seeing violence also happening in the kingdoms of darkness in great ways around us. In the past, we had the Crusades, we had also the War of the Maccabees centuries ago as well. These were all religious wars trying to get a cause to take place by violence. We're also seeing today, though, laws are changing. Violent folks are carrying signs, and they're protesting. Foundational truths from God's word are being attacked, like the Ten Commandments, like marriage between a man and a woman, like things about abortion. We're seeing violent people doing violent things around us. And God says the robbers come, but to kill and steal and destroy. But also thieves come at the same time. So God is saying to us here, I am the gate, I am the door. But there's folks around you that might be religious or they might be violent. But they're out there to steal and kill and destroy things from you. So be vigilant, be awake, and realize that I'm the one that is the door to let you in the right pen, the right place, to be doing the right things and knowing the right things in life. Let's ask some questions now this morning, some basic questions. And the first one is here, how is Jesus actually the door? How is he the door? I'm going to give three take-home points this morning here, spend some time on these about how Jesus Christ is the door. And my main goal this morning is that you realize again, because he is the door, that means nothing is impossible that God's promised in your life to happen, that it will take place at all. Amen? A door represents to us legal entry to the benefits on the other side of that door. We put doors on churches like this because folks would otherwise would come in here and take all of our sound equipment, take all of our chairs, take all of our whatever, because there's things of benefit on the other side of the door. Your doors have locks on your cars. Your doors have locks on your houses. Your doors have locks on your restaurants, your place of business, because there's things of value and benefit on the other side of those doors. Doors represent access, legal access, and also in the spiritual realm, also access to things of God's kingdom. So whether it's a door that's a Fort Knox door with millions of dollars of gold behind that, or a screen door at some old beat-up farmhouse, there's still doors of demarcation that take legal entry to get beyond those doors and do business with the folks on the other side of the doors there in a legal type way. Now, here, I sense what God's Spirit is saying right now also is realize that prayer does this. Intercessory prayer opens up the doors of heaven, opens up God's windows as well, and brings us a place of access to answers and solutions on the earth. Because God's Word tells us things we bind on earth are bound in heaven, things we loose on earth are loosed in heaven. And God's into opening doors up wider and wider in our behalf, because God wants really to bless His people. He wants the best for your lives. God is for you. He's not against you. And God is saying to us again today, I'm a God of goodness and a God of plenty. I'm not a God of lack and slack and torture, but I'm a God who's kind and just and true. And believe me, I want to open doors up in your life that's been shut or barely open, is what God is saying to us again today. Notice that He says you will come in, but also you will also go out. So we're going to spend some time on that also, that phrase this morning. So number one take-home point today is this: the benefits of the door. What benefit does the door of God actually have for us? Well, first of all, the Bible says that Jesus, the door, is our protection. There are stories across this entire sanctuary this morning from a show of hands that God is our protector. Amen? How many folks would agree to that? God has somehow, some way in your life brought divine protection to you somehow in your life. I told the church here, as they've been here for 11 years, they've been here for a long time, I've heard stories like this in the past from me. But I've had several times in my life where I could have been killed very easily. One time at age about 6, my great uncle in Missouri on the farm there was trying to show off his new 45 caliber pistol to my father. And so we had a great big old gasoline tank that held 500 gallons of gasoline there on the farm for the tractors and so forth. It was sitting on 2 big cement brick pillars. And so my great uncle was standing back here. I was standing kind of up here, and the brick wall was in front of me up here. He said, I'm going to show you what happens here when I shoot a 45 caliber gun and into a brick wall. He fires his gun into the brick wall, and it ricochets off, and I actually felt the air of that bullet whiz right by my ear and barely missed me, hit me right in smack dab in the middle of the face. That is one time again where God's angels and God's help is there, praise God, in something like that. Happened so fast, so quick, twinkling of an eye, and it was not time to die yet. Amen? So praise God for that. I'm glad that I'm still alive, and I'm glad I still lived through that thing. I said also, back when I was in my 20s, I was actually with my wife, my father, my sister, her husband, all of the 6 kids were all in the station wagon. We had a Buick wagon back in those days. We were driving around, touring around Colorado, around the Nathrop, Buena Vista area, to sightseeing and so forth. And I was coming off of a side road onto a main highway. And because the front seat was so packed full of people, I could not see very well left or right. But I went ahead and was about to put my foot on the foot feed and gun it and get out onto a 55-mile-an-hour highway there and go. And somehow, some way, my foot did not hit the foot feed. It actually hit the brake. And I braked and still have accelerated. And by the grace of God, at that exact moment, a great big old giant dual-wheeled pickup going 60 miles an hour, pulling a great big giant trailer, goes flying right in front of us. I would have pulled right in front of that vehicle. He would have T-boned us going 60 miles an hour. That's how God brings protection to us in ways like that. Amen? And the last story I want to tell you guys is a true story as well. In South Africa, I do big missions work there. I was teaching every night for a season in Indian Bible schools. And I came back about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night after teaching there, pitch black for hours now. And in South Africa, they, of course, have a lot of crime. There's a lot of problems there. It's even more now than it was back then. But all folks have got gates around their homes. They've got gates and bars on their windows and their doors. They've got usually dogs that at least bark in their household. We had a little small little Maltese dog named Sammy. Sammy would bark when there's intruders, amen? So praise God for Sammy. Well, I come back about 10 o'clock at night, and Cheryl's watching the movie on TV. I sit down next to her to watch the end of the movie. It's about a woman by herself in a house, and a man's trying to break in there and get to her and kill her. That put a little bit of a natural fear in me. Because all of a sudden I said, honey, the movie's over now. Time to go to bed. Let's turn the lights out, put the dogs to bed. And I said, where is Sammy at, by the way? And Cheryl said, I don't know. I think he may be still outside somewhere. And so I said, well, it's real dark out there. My mind says, it's real dark out there. And what I feel right now, that dog is asleep outside tonight. So the dog slept outside that night as far as I was concerned. And when I turned the lights off, I heard a tap, tap, tap on our front glass door. And I go to the front door behind, there's curtains that are there. They can't see in the house so much. And I said, who is there? Nobody answered. So I just went ahead and I went to bed. Got up the next day. Somebody at that night had taken, actually had locked the dog in the garage. They tapped on the door trying to lure me outside. Happens all the time in South Africa. To probably stab me or kill me that night. Probably rape Cheryl and rob our household. By the grace of Almighty God, there was a scary movie on that night at exactly the right time, the right place, that I watched for 5 minutes and saved our lives. Amen? I'm saying time and time again, God does things for us in orchestrated ways that brings divine protection to us so we live and not die in Jesus' name. Amen? And so that didn't happen again, but it happened those times. So also, number two, Jesus Christ is our physician. And folks know that God still heals today. Sometimes doctors, sometimes specialists don't have the answers for your body. They only can go so far with medicine. We've seen here at Tree of Life Church time and time again how God is still a miracle-working God. We've got a report here today, even I think it's from Mary Lou Munchaka, how God is healing her back, how the nodules are shrinking down. We pray into nothingness. We saw little baby Evelyn there last week for the Gamboa family. God's healing her chest, healing her body, causing all the infection to leave her body in Jesus' name. We see again week by week Michael Moon walking now with shoes on his feet. When doctors said there'll be no more walking, there'll be no more life from even the waist down, so forth, so on. We know that God is our physician, and God heals us, God delivers us, and God does today, just like God did a long time ago. Amen? But also, Jesus also is our fellowship. We talked about fellowship last week on Father's Day, Sunday. Hope you guys that were here absorbed those teachings there, put those things into practice. Because how many folks know we do need fathers in our lives? You got to realize again that mothers primarily bring nurture to families, whereas fathers, they help to establish identity and security also for their children. Unless fathers are there providing those things for them, their very affirmation in life is sometimes stunted, it sometimes does not take place for them. Fathers can bring affirmation like nobody else can. But Jesus Christ also, he's our Father in heaven. God's our Father in heaven that brings to us identity and brings to us affirmation like nobody else can on the face of the earth. God will affirm us. God will compliment us. God will encourage us. God will give us promises. God will do things for us to keep us going in life, to not give up, to be strengthened by the power and might of his own word and his own spirit. Amen? But also Jesus Christ, his benefit from being the door is, he is our unity. The word division means multiple visions, splits, divides, and so forth. But what God says, I'm a God of unity. Unity. Amen. I bring things together. I bring oneness. I bring focus. I bring singleness of eye. I am the God that transforms and brings forth life by folks coming together, not being split apart, says the Lord. So God says, I'm a God of unity, not a God of division at all. In your own marriages, your own families, praise God for that, that God brings together. God does not divide. Amen? Number two, point today. Second thing is the mandate of the door. The mandate of the door is this. Jesus said, they come in and they go out. They come in the fold, the sheepfold, but they also go out the sheepfold and take what they've got from the sheepfold out to the world. What he's saying to us is we're not called by God to just kind of come into church services like this only. We're called to go out of places like this and be salt and light upon the face of the earth. Amen? This involves preparation, and this also involves vision. We'll be having here again in about a month and a half in August, first part of August, a newcomers luncheon. All you guys haven't gone to those yet. Please try to make it to that one in about 5 weeks or so. In those, you show the vision for Tree of Life Church. And our vision is many rooms in one house. And all those rooms there of praise and worship, of prayer, of teaching, apostolic, prophetic, finances, funding, pastoral, the realms of the teacher, all those rooms that are there are all rooms that Jesus Christ himself ministered in freely. But God tells us there are diverse gifts in the body of Christ. And all these gifts represent the rooms in a house that we ourselves want to see in operation used here for the glory of Almighty God, not just for this place, but also for out there in the highways, byways, and hedges of life. Amen? We're not called to come in only. We are called to go out in the power and the might of the Holy Spirit and bear fruit after our own kind in the name of Jesus. So Jesus Christ, the Bible says, rebuked the Pharisees for blocking the door, keeping people out of the door, out of God's kingdom. He says, you guys tie great weights around their neck. You block the way to salvation. You block the way to God's kingdom. I have come to set people free, remove all roadblocks by my might, power, and truth, and help folks find the door is wide open here because I am the door, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, says Jesus Christ. Gates of influence become places of entry. And God's promise to us is that we will possess the gates of the enemy. Why would he say that? Because the gates, many gates around the world today are actually owned by, possessed by the enemy, and God wants those gates taken back from him. For this purpose, the Bible says, I was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. There's gates around us that God says do not belong to Satan. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. They belong to me, says God, not to the enemy upon the earth. Amen? But we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. And God says, you guys are called by me to take gates back in Jesus' name. My name is in you. My power is in you. My spirit's in you. My blood is on you. There is no reason you cannot see gates taken back from the powers of darkness that now are owned by them somehow, some way upon the earth. Satan's a trespasser. Satan's a thief. He's a robber. He has no legal right over anything on this earth. Amen? And so now before Christ comes back, he says, occupy until I come. That means take land, take land, take land. Conquer in my name till I come back upon the face of the earth. We're going to see it happening, I pray, more and more before Jesus Christ comes back. In the negative type realm, you're hearing the same thing yourself on TV shows by TV preachers that are prophetic. They're evangelists. They're pastors. They got mega churches. And they're all saying the same thing, pretty much. They're saying, I believe that America is at a crossroad today to go this way or that way. I'm going to believe God. They're going to start seeing ourselves going more and more God's way, not the devil's way. Amen? There's many things around us, the potential to see his nation go backwards, backwards, backwards spiritually. But I'm saying let us hold ground, not just hold ground, but start taking more ground from Satan before Jesus Christ comes back. Because America is not the devil's. This nation belongs to God. This nation must be conquered by God's people, by God's word, by God's spirit. We must not let this place fall to the powers of darkness before Jesus comes back. I talked to you guys a few months ago about a thing that I called seven gates of influence. We're going to put those on the screen right now once again. Seven gates of influence. You'll see the names here, these gates that are in this earth and in our nation that affect us and influence us in so many ways are the gates of religion. That includes all denominations, all churches, all Bible schools, all Christian programs. The gates of family. That includes all homeschoolers, all those involved in mothering and fathering people, all those that are counseling people about their family problems, about addictions, about bondages, about finances. These people help family members out. There's also gates of business. We need businessmen. The Bible calls them kings in the Bible. They are those that influence us by their finances, but also by decisions on what they market, how they market, how they advertise, what they show the public in their advertising and so forth. These are all businessmen kings upon our nation. There's also media. Media, of course, includes things like radio, like television, like computers, like those who work behind the scenes that run cameras, that run all the grips and all the boards and so forth and so on. Then we have arts and entertainment. These things, of course, include our movies, our plays, our places there of theater, our sports across the entire nation are all under entertainment, under arts. Then we have a big one here in Austin called government. Big government. And these guys, of course, you know, influence us in how to run and govern a country, make laws and so forth for our land. Then last of all is a thing called education. Education's all those involved in public schools, in universities, involved also homeschooling themselves as well. What I want to do right now this morning is think about these gates here and ask you a question. If these gates and these influences were all run by godly, spirit-filled, on-fire believers in Jesus Christ of covenant, how many of us agree that our nation would be much better for that right now today? Amen? That is what God's desire is. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. God wants these gates that Satan may run and rule in some way, somehow, taken from him more and more, not less and less, till Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. My question to you guys this morning is this. Identify right now, if you would, what are you wired for yourself to advance God's kingdom in these seven gates? Which one of these seven gates are you wired for the most to influence your neighborhood, your family, your nation, your city for Jesus Christ? I want to ask you to raise your hand. When I mention the name of these gates here, I want you to just raise your hand up spontaneously and say, that's what gate I see myself belonging to the most upon the earth today. The first gate here, religion. Who would say that that's for you, religion? 5, 6, 7 hands. What about family? More hands, about 20, 30 hands here. What about business? We have like 5 or 6 kings and business folks here today. How about the media? A few folks in that as well. What about the arts and entertainments? A few folks for that as well. And also here we see the one that's called government. How about government? Anybody here that's going to be a mayor, a governor, a senator? Up here in the front's one. Anybody else? Not a whole lot of government folks here. I can talk about all kind of things, I guess, now from now on about politics and so forth. But praise God, we have the one government person here that's already has influenced government. I know a lot. Shannon Porterfield has. And maybe God will bring us more folks like that also in the future. But they are in churches across our city today. Last of all, what about education? Who'd raise your hand on that one? Many educators. Amen. Praise God. You know, one businessman said to a pastor several months ago, he said, how can the realm of business really fall under God's kingdom fully? Because you got to really sometimes really lie to be a successful businessman. Well, where's that found in the Bible? Where's the Bible say, the businessman must live by lies, saith the Lord? You really can, I believe, do things God's way and prosper and be blessed in that, in Jesus' name. You know, Cheryl and I just saw a powerful movie last week that was called, again, you saw it. Is that it? Yeah, that was it. That was it, yes. It was called God's Not Dead. We saw Heaven is for Real. I get the two mixed up here. We saw God's Not Dead. That was actually not a hokey, not a cheesy, poorly done Christian movie. It was a very, very well-made, well-acted, well-thought-out, and well-filmed movie that showed folks how she disputing the realms of secular university professors coming against Christians saying God is dead and I'm an atheist and you can't prove that God's alive. And so I'm saying we're getting more and more things like this in the arts where Christians are rising up using their imagination, their thoughts, and God's anointing on them to help see people come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by the arts and by entertainment. May that take place more and more and more in Jesus' name. I understand that Noah's film was not so much on the right side there. It was actually filmed by a guy that's not even a Christian, I understand. And I didn't even see the movie. I think they were showing things like Noah had several wives, and I think they were fighting in wars. And I don't know what all took place there, but it was just not really very biblical. So talk to your Christian friends sometimes first. But I'm saying there's some really good things happening and taking place in the arts, entertainment, in the realms also of education, of teaching, of government, of business, of family, religion. All these things are gates that God wants taken back. How many folks realize that today there's entire denominations that are fighting over the whole gay agenda themselves? And so we're having a fight right now on the gates of religion taking place in this country right now today. Be praying also in your prayer time. We're gonna not see Satan's agenda take place for our nation, because what I see take place in history, heard this happen, spoken this week in my own ears here, was that what the devil wants is our children. Throughout history, mankind never stops with just legalization of gay marriage. He goes on to the next realm of legalized pedophilia, sexual contact with children, legally being done in a nation. You realize that Rome had that. Rome had not just the gay problem, They had little bitty children becoming prostitutes of grown adults in their 50s, 60s, or whatever. That is an abomination to God, and it always, always brings great reproach and great death to a country and a people's culture. Amen? So I'm saying, don't think Satan's ever content with his victories. He's never content. He wants more and more and more and more. We've got to draw the line in the sand someplace and take ground back. Amen? Okay. So if there was a God-anointed people taking over these gates here today, we would see a change take place for the better in our nation. Last of all, number three is this. The door is open wide. In Revelation, Jesus said this, I set before you an open door. Walk ye in that open door is what God is saying to us. Some people's God is a God of not enough. Some folks' God is a God of barely enough. And some folks' God is a God of more than enough. Back in John chapter 10, in this context here about the gate, Christ himself being the gate, the door, and so forth, so on. He talks here then about also the five loaves and two fish that feed the 5,000. He tells the disciples, they say, well, Master, send these folks off. They're starving. They're hungry. They need food to eat. Let them go to town and get some food and come back here and hear some more preaching later on. Then what does Jesus Christ say? You feed them. He says, well, what do you want us to do? Take a year's wages and buy them food and bring it back here? He says, well, what do you have? So they first of all say, there's not anything here to feed the people. There's nothing. The God of nothing. The God of no supply. They come back then, of course, we all know, with a young boy with five loaves and two fish who barely has enough for himself. What does Jesus Christ do? He says, this is enough. He takes it, breaks it, blesses it, prays to God, gives thanks to God for it. God multiplies it. And the Bible says what? There is 12 basketfuls remaining. And all men ate enough and were filled up with 12 basketfuls that remain. Now, why 12? Because there was 12 disciples. He tried to show them, you guys had nothing. You guys had barely enough. Now you guys have more than enough. You got a whole basket full now of fish and chips from Long John Silver. You had nothing. Now you got abundance to gorge yourselves and your wives, your kids, and the whole bit here. God is a God of more than enough. And the crux of what I'm saying this morning to you guys is, what God is saying to us is, God is not the God of just enough or barely enough. God is a God of more than enough in your life. But the key thing here is, catch this. What God will do is God will give you a season where you'll have barely enough to get by with. Barely pay your rent, barely make your house payment, barely make your car payment, barely getting by. And in that season, God's watching us to say, will you put that barely enough into my hands? Let me bless it. Let me break it. Let me multiply that thing by you being obedient. And sometimes your tithes, sometimes your offering, sometimes your giving, sometimes your attitude, sometimes your speech. God is saying, can you be faithful with barely enough that I might bless it, break it, and it becomes more than enough? And what God is saying to my heart this morning here at Tree of Life Church is, he's got people that are here today living in barely enough. And God is saying, that is not my will for your life perpetually. Praise God for five loaves and two fishes. But God's got more than that. God's got basketfuls in store in heaven to pour into your life for those who will be obedient and faithful in the realms of barely enough in their lives. Amen? So when it says a thief comes but to steal and kill and destroy, the whole Greek context and Greek language here says something like this. Satan comes to not spare the flock, but actually offers sacrifices to his kingdom from the flock. Satan comes to sacrifice and find a sacrifice for the kingdom of darkness and from the flock of God. That's what Satan comes to do. He tries to rob your health. He tries to rob your children. He tries to rob your own peace with God, your walk with God, your reading the Word of God. He tries to bring a sacrifice to darkness somehow, some way, by the light that God puts in your life. He comes but to kill and steal and destroy. But Jesus Christ says, I come to give life and life more abundantly. And notice what it says here also. The word abundantly in the Bible in the Greek language actually means, it's a word that is so hard to translate They actually said in the translation there again, more abundantly is my life. That word actually means I have come to bring to you super abundance. It actually means super califragilistic, expialidocious, nitroglycerin, atomic bomb, dunamis, abundance in your life. Amen? It's not just more abundance, it's actually super abundance. It's what I've come to you, says the Lord, in your life. So God is saying to us again this morning here, you may be living right now in just enough, but it can become super abundance when it's placed in my hands, saith the Lord. Amen? So we have James come back to the platform and help me out at the end of the service this morning again today. I want to say again in closing that He is our door. He is our access. He is our opportunity. And I want to shift right now my own heart, my own mind here to where we realize it's time to release faith among us, because it's very, very important today to not just hear what this message is all about today. It's important to actually put it into practice and say, Father God, what does this word mean to me in my life? Again, this morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just for a time of meditation, a time of thinking, a time of letting God speak to us, I'm going to ask the first question this morning, and that is, how many people today would say that you are just living in a life, in some area of your life, where it's just enough, it's barely enough, barely getting by? And it may be in your marriage. It may be in your relationship with your own sons or daughters. The love that's there between you two people might be barely just enough. It might be your health. You're just barely getting by in your health, barely walking, barely able to move your fingers, barely able to get up in the morning. The pain is so great. It might be, again, the realm of finances. Barely able to pay your bills, to see ends meet, to see needs being met in your own lifestyle, your own house. It may be in your own soul and mind. I can barely smile. I can barely have any joy in my life. I can barely desire to live on this earth. I'm barely getting by emotionally. Most days there's a dark cloud over me. I'm not sensing this joy, this peace that Christians talk about, that God talks about. It's barely enough that I'm having in my life emotionally taking place. Well, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed this morning. I want you to be very honest today. And just about right now, if you would, if you just raise your hand up, one hand up, if you're like that today, in some area of your life, be honest. Just raise your hand this morning. I know there's many people like that today in this place. I want us all to stand to our feet now. If we do that, please, let's all stand up, please. I want those who raise your hands today, who some area of your life is just kind of barely enough's going on there. Go ahead and come to the front now if you do that, please. There's an anointing here today to, I believe, bring forth divine breakthroughs, bring forth divine answers, bring forth divine solutions in your life. So if you'll just be honest now today, receive prayer today, come to the front. Just stand side by side. And those that are here today that aren't even prayer partners, if you have gone through a time of victory where you had just enough, but now you have more than enough, emotions, marriage, love, finances, would you come to the front right now, also right now, please, and stand behind somebody in the front here? They need what you've got. There's a breakthrough that took place in your life that you went from barely enough to more than enough. And God wants that passed on to people you're touching and praying for this morning in the name of Jesus. Let's right now reach our hands, our faith out towards these folks. We're going to pray for them right now together as a group. Let's ask God to touch them. Ask God to minister His life and peace to them. Father, we thank You, O God, for these people being honest today. We know, Father God, that You're the God of more than enough. And Father God, as they're praying for themselves right now, we pray in agreement that, oh God, You are the God, Jehovah Jireh, who supplies all of our needs, but also, God, You are the God of abundance. The God who brings to us, oh God, breakthroughs and more than enough. We declare today there is no more lack. There is no more poverty. There is no more depression. There is no more sickness, no more disease, no more pain that grips these bodies on an ongoing basis, that they live a life of just barely enough. We break the curse of the past. We break bloodline curses right now in Jesus' name. We say the blood of Jesus Christ flows through our veins. And there's coming to us the ability, Father God, the freedom of God, to see ourselves receive every promise You've given to us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, God. Let's bless her. Bless her, Father God. Bless her in Jesus' name. Blessings, blessing of God. Blessing of God. Release there. Release there in the name of Jesus. Touch them. Touch them, oh God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the blessing of God be loosed. Be loosed there in the name of Jesus. The blessing of God loosed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we praise you, God. Touch her, Father God, in Jesus' name. In that area, Father God, release, release in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, touch, oh God, bless. Bless, oh God, bring breakthroughs, breakthroughs. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, and praise you. No more, just enough, oh God. Abundance, abundance, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we praise you, God. We thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, blessings, blessings, oh God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Yes. Whoa. Yes, thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Father. Let's just give God right now a clap of praise, a clap of thanks. Yes. Yes, oh God. The God of abundance, the God of more than enough. Be, O God, upon this people, Father, in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Now, Father, I pray right now as well. All those who have been prayed for in the front, you, O God, hold the keys to the doors. There may be some keys of Scripture, of revelation, of obedience. Let them hear the voice of your Spirit, Father God. The key is there that unlocks every door. You are the door. You have the key. And we declare the key is in our hands. The key shall fit the door. It shall be turned. And those things of curses shall be broken. Lack shall be broken in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Do you have something else here to share at all? Cheryl, anything at all? Yes. Let's go ahead and get the microphone. Lead us in that as well.
Like this morning, you just need to, whatever your lack area is, you need to surrender it. Because God's not a God of lack. He's a God of abundance, as we've heard.
Yes.
And so sometimes we tend to hang on to that because it's almost normal for us to have that lack or have that thing in our life. And we become accustomed to it or used to it and say, well, that's just the way it is. Well, it's not the way it is. And so I just believe you need to put out your hands and just hold it. Hold it there and see it there. Father, we come to you and we bring our lack before you in our hands right here. Father, by faith. Father, you say we walk by faith. And so, Father, we're acting in faith today, and we're laying it out in our hands right now, this area of lack in our lives. And, Father, we declare that a spirit of lack is broken in Jesus' name over every area of our lives. Father, we declare that you're a God of abundance. You're a God that comes and floods us, Father, with things in our lives that we need spiritually, emotionally, physically, whatever area it is, Father. So, Father, we declare today, we give it to you, and we say we will not take it back, but we are trusting you with it, Father, in Jesus' name. And as we stand upon your word and declare what your word says, Father, over our situations, over this lack area, that, Father, you breathe life into it, you break lack over it, and you bring deliverance, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that today, Father. We give you praise. Now let's praise him. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We walk in abundance in the name of Jesus.
Yes, oh God. Yes, Lord. Yes, oh God. Praise you. Praise you, God. One last thing I hear the Spirit of God saying is time for us also to pray over this entire church. Let's pray for Tree of Life Church today, that there is no lack, that there is no barely getting by. There's not just enough. There is abundance released here, not just in finances, but in the realms of anointing, the realms of prophecy, the realms of soul winning, the realms of families being healed, all the realms that God wants, all the rooms of the house, there's abundance. Let's begin to declare it this morning in Jesus' name. Father, we thank and praise you, O God. This local church, O God, is birthed not by man, but by your Spirit. And Father, we thank you, O God, that what you begin, you finish, O God, by the power and by the grace and by the might of your kingdom. We declare, O God, there's no lack. There's no just barely getting by, Father God, in this church called the Tree of Life Church and Congregation. But there is abundance, O God, loosed here in all dimensions, in the realms of pastoral, in the realms, O God, of apostolic, prophetic, in the realms, O God, of teachers, and evangelists, O God, in the realms of healing and miracles, in the realms of salvation, in the realms of praise and worship, in the realms of finances, in the realms of counsel, in the realms, O God, of being shepherded in the way that is righteous and just, O God. We say there's abundance, abundance, abundance in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father God. Anything of a curse on this land, on this ground, in this area is broken, broken, broken in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, God, the gates of hell, they will not prevail against this church, against this people, against these families, against this youth, O God, these children, these adults, O Lord. But your blessings, O God, overtake us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, O God. Yes, Lord. Yes, O God. Praise you. Praise you, God. The Lord God is just saying that the joy of the Lord, my joy, is your strength. We need to leave this place in joy. Give God praise and rejoice in all the good things God is and God does and God is all about. And we're going to leave this place here believing God. There's going to be a week here of breakthroughs and joyful things happening because God wants you in peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, praise God. Praise God. Is it Jack? Go ahead and get the microphone, please. You can dismiss us in a moment as well. This coming Wednesday night, please come back if you can about this teaching on the mind. Like Cheryl has said, this woman's got tremendous revelation as a PhD in how the brain functions, how God put the brain together, and how the Word of God permeates your brain and will cause things to start falling in line better in every part of your life when you start understanding how God has made this fantastic thing that is called your brain. Amen? Praise God. If you can come back on Wednesday night for that, that's going to be great. You can dismiss us in a moment here, Jack, and we'll believe God for great, fruitful things happening this week and the joy of God going with us this week as well. Thank you, guys. We love you, folks. We'll see you back here in a few days, we hope.